How many remember the years you spent in Sunday school, in Bible school, and the things you learned? How many times in life have you been confronted with a decision or faced a situation you didn't know what to do, and something from those early years of training came back and reminded you of the difference between right and wrong? Anyone? How many of you have been doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden a Bible verse popped into your head, and all of a sudden you felt a little bit guilty? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. I think we all would be in that category. And I want to celebrate those who memorize scripture verses this year. 25 verses, 50 verses, that's really phenomenal. And, you know, I think next year we ought to make it a goal as a congregation, not just for Sunday school to memorize verses, but for everyone to memorize verses. Do you think, Linda, that might work? Okay. Already started. Well, I think adults could memorize a verse a month, don't you think? I think we could. Yeah, I think we could. I mean, I don't want to push you over the brink here, but I think that's something we could do. Yeah, we can make candy involved, I suppose. And I think one of the verses we ought to begin with is this verse. Psalm 119:105. It's on the screen behind you. Let's read it together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Let's read it again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many think you could memorize that before the end of June? That's what I thought. You know, I didn't take the shortest verse in the Bible. A special treat to someone who can tell that to me after service today. The first person, the shortest verse in the Bible. I know some of you aren't going to pay attention to the sermon now. You're going to be looking into concordance and trying to Google it and things like that. That isn't the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's not the longest one either. And so it's very doable. This is a Bible verse that I learned as a child growing up in Sunday school and VBS and CYC and things like that. And it's very important because it reminds us about the value of God's Word. God's Word is a light and a lamp. It guides us through life. It gives us direction in the decisions that we make. And it helps us to walk the pathway of life in a way in which we not only honor God, but we experience God's very best for us. In my early years as a Christ follower, I thought whenever you talked about the Word of God, what it was referring to was the Bible. Am I right? Anyone ever heard of the Bible referred to as the Word of God? I would hope so, at least coming to Raleigh Wesleyan, you ought to have heard that in the past. But did you know that the Word of God refers to more than just the Bible? That in the Bible we read about God's Word being active in many different ways. And this morning I want to talk to us about God's Word and the power God's Word can have as it works in our life and in our world. And the reason I want to share this message is because, first of all, I want us to understand that we need to be people who are listening to and discerning the Word of God. We need to be people who are following the Word of God, and we need to be people who are getting into Scripture where we can hear the Word of God. And I think you'll be amazed to see how in the Scriptures we see God's Word being active at many different times and in many different ways. And this morning, I just want to dig into three important areas where God's Word is active. And by this, I mean God's actual spoken Word is powerfully effective, not just the written Word that we have in Scripture. The first place we see God's Word at work is in creation. How many memorized Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. For those who are interested in little bits of Bible information you may not have known, this is the first mention of baseball in the Bible. In the big inning, God created the heaven and the earth. It doesn't get any better than that. Sorry about that. Now catch this. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What's the picture here? It's of an earth, of a universe that's a chaotic mess. Things are not the way that they should be. It's dark, it's formless, it's empty. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, but that just as easily could be translated, this horrendous gale force wind was blowing everywhere. I want you to think about it for a moment, and I just want this thought to be planted in your mind because I'm going to answer it a little bit later. When God started creating, why did God start with a formless, chaotic mess? Why didn't he just create everything perfect to begin with? Think about that one for a minute and let it mull over in your mind. Into this chaotic situation, God begins to work. And in verse 3, what does the Bible say? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the first thing God created was light. Now imagine with me what God must have thought as he went about creating light. I imagine he got into his heavenly laboratory, and he said, well, now if I'm going to create light, I have to run current through these wires, and it has to go through a thinner wire, which is a filament. And as it goes through, the resistance will cause that filament to glow and there will be light. Or no, God might have said, no, I need to create light. And so in order to create light, I'm going to take some helium and some hydrogen and some carbon and other inert elements, and I'm going to make fission take place. And as a result, all of these electrons will bounce around and light will come forth and there will be heat. Is that how the Bible says God did it? No, it says, and God said. And God said, let there be light. Think of that. The word of God spoken caused creation to happen. Boy, that's some powerful words. I don't know, when you were growing up, whose word carried the most weight in your house? In how many homes did dad's word carry the ultimate authority? How many homes did mom's word carry the ultimate authority? In how many homes did dad think he was the ultimate authority, but mom was really the one who spoke? Okay, whoever was the authority, when they spoke, things happened, right? But why did they happen? They happened because we learned at an early age that behind that voice were actions that brought authority to what was spoken. Behind that voice might have been a wooden spoon, a belt, a flat hand, or time in your bedroom without any video games to play with. Of course, back in my day, there were no such things as video games, so didn't have to worry about that. You see, the word itself was only powerful because of the force behind it. But the difference is when God spoke in creation, his word was the power that brought things into existence. That's so different than what we experience. I just recently received a text from my daughter who wants me to make this little shelf that she can put on her railing of her patio deck, and she sent me a picture of it. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of fun. I could create a shelf for her, and then she could use it when she's entertaining friends and things like that. And it'd be a lot of fun, and she would enjoy it. Now, as I was thinking about creating that shelf in the context of preparing for this morning's message, I thought, well, if I was going to create it as God created it, what would I do? I would walk into the garage, and I would say, I need a shelf. Let there be a shelf. And there would be a shelf, right? So if you drive down Hazlitt Road and I'm sitting there on the floor in the garage mumbling to myself, let there be a shelf, let there be a shelf. I'm just wrestling with my God complex. We all know a shelf isn't going to happen, is it? I'm going to have to buy the wood. I'm going to have to buy the screws. In fact, I'm not really going to create anything. I'm just going to take what is and put it together in a different way to come up with something else. But when God spoke, things happened. That's why in the Old Testament, when you read about a false prophet only getting one mistake, you think, my goodness, boy, that's a tough job. And they didn't just get fired if they made a mistake in speaking a false prophecy. They got stoned. And not the marijuana kind of stone. No, the rock kind of stoned. It was the end of their life. And why was that? Well, the reason it was is because the power of the prophecy was not in the prophet himself. It was in the Word of God. And when the Word of God is actually spoken, it happens. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope so. It's a reality. And the fact is, if a prophet says he's speaking on behalf of God and it doesn't happen, everyone knows that prophet is not speaking on behalf of God. And so God said, and it happened. That was the creative force behind the universe. And what's interesting is the first thing God creates, he creates light. He starts to bring order to the chaos that exists. You may recall I started a few minutes ago with a question for you to think about. Why would God create chaos first? I think it was God's way of showing us that if you take God out of the picture, that's what you have is chaos. But when you get God into the picture, then you have light, then you have order, then you have life. And as you read the story of creation, it's just ever more complex order being brought to the universe that supports and sustains life. Of course, what happens is that shortly after creation, Adam and Eve, they see this fruit on this tree that they're not supposed to eat, and they eat it. And sin comes into the world. And what happens when sin comes into the world? We go back to chaos. Why? Because they refuse to follow the Word of God. We jump to the New Testament to see another place where the Word of God is active, which directly relates to what happened in creation in Genesis 1. This is in John chapter 1. Here John is going to tie it all together for us in a way that helps us really understand God's ultimate purpose. In verse 1 we read, "In the beginning," again another reference to baseball, "was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, when John says, "In the beginning was the Word," who is the Word he's speaking about here? Well, it was none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus was with God in the beginning. This is one of those passages of Scripture that help us understand that God can be a triune God and still be one. Because Jesus was actually with God there at the time of creation. They were one. And now this Word is coming into our world in a different way, in human form. And he has a purpose, which John will explain to us in verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." In other words, when Jesus, the Word of God, comes into the world as God in the flesh, he dies on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, that we might experience God's grace, and we might experience order coming back into the chaos created by sin. This is God's purpose for you and me. Not that we live life in chaos. Not that we live life in darkness. Not that we live life that's dysfunctional. Not that we live life that will cause us to be eternally separated from God. But rather, his purpose is that we understand how the Word of God, through Jesus himself, can be active in your life and my life and help us to experience forgiveness of sin and an internal life change that helps us to live by God's created order. Remember the woman at the well and the conversation that Jesus had with her? She was a Samaritan woman coming in the middle of the day, and the reason she was coming was because she was marginalized even by her own people because of her sordid lifestyle. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with at that time wasn't even her husband. And Jesus comes along and asks for a cup of water, and they have this spiritual conversation, and Jesus invites her to drink of the water of life that she might experience spiritual life change. And her life is revolutionized through this encounter with Jesus. And she becomes radically different, so much so that she goes home and tells all of her family members and her neighbors what God has done. And then she says, and come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Well, I'm glad God knows everything I've ever done. But what I really don't want to do is introduce you to God so that he can tell you everything I've ever done. That's not what I want to have happen for me. But what was she saying in that statement? She was saying, basically, my life was really messed up. It was in chaos. And then I heard God's word spoken through Jesus. And it brought order to the chaos. It brought life to the dark, to the deadness. It brought light where there was darkness. And that's how God's word can work in you and me. That's why it's so important for us to not only hear the word of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to us and through preaching and teaching that we receive, but also to internalize the word of God as we dig into the scripture. Because you see, when we hear that word, when we receive that word, when we learn that word, what we discover is that God's word continues to work today. God's word continues to help people who are far from God come and connect with God. People who are living in the chaos of sin to find forgiveness, to find hope, to find a future through Christ. God's word also helps us as we face the many decisions we face in life to really find a pathway that leads us towards God's best for us. And that's why it's so important. That's why I celebrate what God is doing in the lives of our boys and girls as they're learning scripture. Because they're just not getting tickets to put in a jar to get a candy bar, although that's fun. They're actually discovering and hearing the word of God to help them live life as God has created them to live it. And so here's my challenge to you and me today. This next week, let's make some time in our life to really listen for the Word of God. Listen for the Word of God as we read the Scripture. Listen to the Word of God as we allow the Holy Spirit to walk with us day by day. And as we listen for the word of God, let that word be a source of life change within. Because God's word will make a difference in your life. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for your word today. It challenges us to not simply memorize scripture, as important as that is. It challenges us as well to be people who are listening to the word of God and allowing that word to do a work within us that leads us to life, that brings order, that helps us to enjoy the peace you've created us to enjoy. I just pray in this service today that if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would just take a few moments as we celebrate the sacrament together just to invite you to come in and bring order into their life where sin has created chaos and experience your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, if there's others here today who they've been wrestling with, listening and responding to your word in the direction it would give to them, I just pray that they would surrender to what your Spirit is saying, that they would be obedient to the direction your word gives, because in the process, they will experience life. In your name I pray. Amen.